Please turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we want to introduce our lesson by reading the first six verses. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. This letter, of course, was written by Paul the Apostle, and it was written to the evangelist Titus. He was serving the Lord on the island of Crete. And in this letter, Paul wrote to Titus concerning his personal conduct as well as his teaching. So this is a very important letter in the New Testament, especially for the benefit of those who preach the gospel. Notice how chapter 2 begins, though. It begins with an admonition for Titus to present sound doctrine. In our lesson, we want to emphasize how sound doctrine is for all ages. So that's what our lesson's about. Sound doctrine is for all ages. Titus was the preacher. The Apostle Paul instructed him to teach things that become sound doctrine. That included teaching people in various age groups about Christian behavior, about how God wants his people to behave. Let's first look at verse 2. Verse 2 indicates that sound doctrine is for the aged men. The aged men are to be sober, which means to be temperate, to be free from the influence of anything that is intoxicating or habit forming. The aged men are to be grave. This means honorable, worthy of respect, and to display a sense of dignity. How does it mean that an aged man can't have a sense of humor? We all are to have a sense of humor. The Bible even teaches that there's a time to laugh. But in general, sound doctrine for the aged men is that they are to be grave. They're also to be temperate, which means to be self-controlled, to have the desires and the impulses under control. And then I want you to notice that sound doctrine for the aged men includes soundness. The aged men are to be sound, which means uncorrupt. And the aged men are to be sound or uncorrupt in three important areas. Notice what they are. The aged men are to be sound in faith. This morning we looked at three great Old Testament characters who demonstrated great faith at the end of their lives. We looked at Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. They're mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in connection with their faith. We would do well to follow the examples of such godly men. Now, those are not the only men of faith that we read about in the Bible. We have many other examples. The aged men are to be sound in charity or love. And then the aged men are to be sound in patience. And this particular type of patience refers to endurance or steadfastness. Now, these are some specific matters that relate to sound doctrine for the benefit of the aged men. Well, let's consider two reasons why it's so important for the aged men to follow these instructions. Number one, because God says so. You know, that was a good enough reason for my mama when I was growing up. If I asked why on a certain matter, she would say, because I said so. Well, that should have settled the matter. Most of the time, it did. When I didn't let it settle the matter, I faced the consequences. People don't like that type of reasoning anymore. There's a good reason why the aged men are to follow these instructions. Because God says so. That ought to settle it once and for all. We certainly don't want to argue with God. He knows what's best. He's the one who made us. And, of course, we want to grow in the image of His beloved Son. But there's another reason why it's so important for the aged men to follow these instructions. Young men need to have the proper example set before them. And I don't know if aged men fully recognize the power of influence that they have upon those who are younger. We might be quick to dismiss those who are younger. We ought not to be so hasty. When I was thinking about these matters and preparing the outline, I couldn't help but reflect upon my memories of one of my favorite teachers when I was in school. He was an older man, but it was interesting to me how many younger people. Now, I was older than most of the students. I was about 10 or 12 years older than most of the students. But I never ceased to be amazed at how many young people were attracted to this older brother. He just had that type of personality. If there was anyone who ever practiced these instructions, it was this dear brother. And he had a tremendous influence upon many young people. Now, unfortunately, there were a few who took advantage of his generosity and his good nature, but they were few and far between. Most of us highly respected him, and we loved him. And his influence even lives today, and he's been gone for a number of years. Well, young men need to have the proper example set before them. That's one reason why it's so important for the aged men to follow these instructions that have to do with sound doctrine. But let's go on. We learn from verse 3 of Titus 2 that sound doctrine is for the aged women. Well, let's notice some specific matters that are dealt with. The aged women are to be in behavior as becometh holiness. That means that the aged women are to be reverent, and they are to conduct themselves in a sacred manner. The aged women are not to be false accusers. A false accuser is a slanderer. The aged women are to avoid the practice of slander. The aged women are not to be given to much wine. That simply means that they're not to be addicted to strong drink. And then the aged women are to be teachers. They're to be teachers of good things. This has reference to things that are right, things that are correct. But then specifically, according to the first part of verse 4, the older women are to teach the young women. You know, when I was a little boy, my first Bible teachers were among the aged women at my home congregation. And those dear ladies, although I don't know if they realized it at the time, were having a profound impact upon their little children that they taught. And that impact will last a long time. But the aged women are given certain very important responsibilities. Once again, why is it so important for the aged women to follow these instructions? Well, because God said so. That's a good reason. But then also, those who are younger can be greatly influenced in a powerful way by the conduct of the aged women. You know, ladies are just able to relate to little children in a special way. That's just a blessing that God has given to ladies. And we need to appreciate that. Let's look at verses 4 and 5 of Titus chapter 2. We see that sound doctrine is for the young women. Now, these are things that are to be taught by the older women. I can remember a dear friend of mine years ago in Jacksonville said, let's keep things in the proper order. He said, these are things that the older women are to teach the younger women. And he had a practice that if a younger woman came to him for counseling or for guidance, he would recommend her to one of the older sisters that he had confidence in the congregation, knowing that she would be able to take care of the matter. Well, I thought that was very wise. Sound doctrine is for the young women, younger women. And these are things that are to be taught by the older women. The young women are to be sober, which means self-controlled. The young women, and this is to be taught by the older women, are to love their husbands. That simply means that the younger women are to be suitable companions for their husbands, as God made Eve for Adam. That's a very touching account in Genesis chapter 2, when you find that Adam named all of the animals. There was not a companion for him. And there was only one thing about the creation that wasn't good. God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. Now everything else was good, but that which was not good, God took care of. God caused Adam to fall asleep. He took a rib from his side and he made Eve. Then he brought her to Adam. And I can just imagine the smile on Adam's face when he saw Eve for the first time. You see, his life was complete at that point. Well, there's a lot involved in the younger women loving their husbands. That's a responsibility that's looked down upon today, but the Bible holds it in very high regard. Sound doctrine for the young women includes loving their children. That means to care for the children and to be a companion to them. Sound doctrine for the young women includes being discreet. That means that the desires and the impulses are to be controlled. The same matter is addressed in verse 2 concerning the aged men, where it's translated temperate. The young women are to be chaste, which means pure and modest. Let's consider what's written in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. These two verses help us understand what's involved in the younger women being chaste. Now, this was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, the evangelist. Paul wrote to Timothy concerning his personal conduct as well as what he was responsible for teaching. These two verses tell us, In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And then sound doctrine is for the young women to be keepers at home. Now that's a matter that is not very popular today, but it's God's plan, and it has been for a long time, for the young women to take care of household affairs. And you know, in the book of Proverbs, in the very last chapter, we have the description of a virtuous woman. And you know, that lady was a strong, somewhat independent woman. She could take care of her own matters. Now, she was a good wife to her husband, and he had a great reputation because of her. But she had a great influence upon many people, including those in her household. She looked well to the ways of her children, and her servants were cared for as well. Well, the older women are responsible for teaching these matters relating to sound doctrine to the younger women, and that includes being keepers at home. Now, a lot has been made of that particular responsibility, but I think we see the point that's being made. The young women are to be good. Well, we would expect that to be the case, but the word good means upright and filled with virtue. And the young women are to be taught by the older women to be obedient to their own husbands. And that's God's plan, that wives be in subjection to their husbands. Let's read about that in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, these matters are extremely important. There's a very important reason given in these verses why the older women are to teach these things to the younger women. And that is so that God's word will not be blasphemed. That's a good reason, isn't it? You see, when we follow these instructions, we're holding up the scriptures, placing them up on a pedestal, and showing our high regard for them. But if we disobey, God's word is being blasphemed. Well, we certainly don't want to do that. And then finally, in verse 6 of Titus 2, we find that sound doctrine is for the young men. I've made this observation a number of times over the years. I know you've heard me say it before. But not long after I became a Christian many years ago, I was very concerned about learning what the Bible had to say specifically for young men. This is one passage that I came across. But I noticed that there were several responsibilities given to the older men. There were several responsibilities given to the older women. Then there were several responsibilities that the older women were to teach the younger women. And then when it came to young men, Titus was told, exhort to be sober-minded. Well, I didn't fully appreciate that at the time. But although those words are few, There is a lot included in those few words. You see, a sober-minded young man will have a desire to conduct himself as God wants him to. A sober-minded young man will know what kind of conduct he must avoid. A sober-minded young man will not allow himself to get into a compromising situation. A sober-minded young man will consider the spiritual and the physical consequences of his actions. And then a sober-minded young man will avoid bad habits even if everyone else participates in them. You didn't know there was so much involved in being sober-minded, did you? There's a lot more that could be mentioned. You see, if a young man will just be sober-minded, everything else will fall into place. Look, it took me a number of years to appreciate that. But although those words are few in that one responsibility, there's a lot involved in those few words. Well, passages such as these in Titus chapter 2 teach us how God wants us to behave. He doesn't want us to be like the rest of the world. And we need to keep in mind that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And when people observe our behavior, they need to see the truth being supported. It's vitally important that we behave as God wants us to. He's revealed His will in His Word. What we need to do is search out His Word, learn His will, and then put it into practice. If we will do that, we'll be the kind of people that He wants us to be. God will be pleased, and we'll be having the right kind of influence upon others. As a final thought, let's keep all of this in perspective. Where was Titus preaching? On the island of Crete. According to chapter 1, the people living in Crete had a bad reputation. The good news is the gospel went there. A number of people learned it, believed it, and obeyed it. They became children of God. And as children of God, they were to behave as God desires, turning their old Cretan ways away, leaving them in the past, and then growing in the image of the Lord. Titus had his work cut out for him in the island of Crete. But according to what we know about him, he was up to the task. And if Paul had such confidence in him, that ought to settle the matter.